And whose kingdom do we stand? It's the kingdom of the Lord our God. The kingdom of Jesus Christ. He's the King. Whose king? What kingdom do we stand in? The kingdom of God. Do we stand in the kingdom of this world?
No.
He said that all these shall come upon the world. Do we stand in the world?
No.
Whose kingdom are we in? Where is our surety? God. Can God be touched? Can He be destroyed? Can He be overcome? We are not of this world, but we are in this world. We live in this world that will receive condemnation, that will receive judgment, but we are not of this world. Though we are in it, we are not of it. And God will see us through. God will see us through. We don't need to be afraid of the end times. We don't need to be afraid of chaos. We don't need to be afraid of all these things. We will overcome. We have. That's the reality. We have overcome.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us. Lord, we just honor you in Jesus' name. Tithe and offering. There's a couple things I wanted to point out. You know, it's better to be in the blessing than to need a miracle. It's better to be blessed than to need a miracle. Miracles are cool, but blessing is better. To walk in a blessing, to walk in the blessing, if you want to be blessed and you want to walk in the blessing, then it needs obedience. In order to enter into blessing, it requires obedience. Obedience to the Word. Deuteronomy 28, I think, is one of the greatest illustrations of this. Deuteronomy 28, the Lord is laying out the blessings for being obedient to the Old Covenant. He says, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey all that He has commanded you today, then you shall walk in that blessing. You shall be blessed in the fruit of your field. You shall be blessed. You shall be blessed. Read the entire chapter 28. Talks about, it literally goes through the blessing. And you think about, when you read through that, these are the Old Covenant blessings. And the new covenant is greater than the old covenant. So you at least have these. At least have these. But there was a requirement to walk in those blessings. Just like there's a requirement in the new covenant to walk in the blessings. Do you know that? If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can't be saved. And Jesus said, He said that those that hear my words and do them are like those that are on the rock. Hear my words and do them. Obedience to hear and to do. God says, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do all that He's commanded. Obedience requires, blessing requires obedience. Miracle, if you need a miracle, if you want miracle, requires faith. It requires faith. It's not an obedience, quote unquote obedience, much larger issue. You can be walking wrong in your life and still enter into a miracle. Because it's by faith, not by obedience. The problem is if you're not walking in obedience, you're going to need another miracle. It's just the way it works. Now, not to say that if you walk in obedience doesn't mean that you're not eventually going to need a miracle, because we live in the world and we have an enemy. But to get a miracle, to receive a miracle, you need faith. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Smith Wigglesworth makes a comment. He says, there's just something about faith that God causes God to overlook 100 people to find the one that has faith. It's like, why does it seem like God will respond to one person and nobody else? Faith. Faith. Because they put their trust in God. Because they put their hope in God. So, you can walk in the blessing, or you can just need miracles. I want to encourage you to walk in the blessing. And then use faith to see for greater miracles than just your need. If a lot of times we're always, well, God, if I can just meet my bills this week. Of course, I don't know how many people here are still dealing with that. But, you know, we all have different levels of where we're at in life. But if we can say, God, I want to see somebody healed. And we use our faith for that rather than having to worry about whether or not our bills are getting paid. Seeking first the kingdom, looking for what's going to glorify His name. Anyway, let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you give us miracles. That you provide for us in a miraculous way. That you meet our needs when we are in difficulty. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you've been faithful to us. But Lord, we want to move on to greater things. We want to move on into your blessing. We want to walk in the fullness of what you have to offer for us. Lord, we don't want to just barely get by. We want to flourish like the Garden of Eden, where we have more and more than enough. So much that we have to give it away. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. Help us to walk in obedience that we can enter into your blessing. And we just ask you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good and He is faithful. His word is true. And He said, test me. Test me and see if it's not so. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. Dividing between soul and spirit. This is an extra. It divides between the soul and spirit. You know, that they're so closely united together that sometimes you don't know where your spirit ends and your soul begins. And the Word of God divides between that. We need the Word of God to divide because our soul doesn't always have God's best interest in mind. It has our best interests in mind. But our spirit is joined to God. If we are Christ, then it's joined to God. And the heart of Christ is now within our spirit. And it's wanting us to pursue God. And we need that Word to cut in our soul, to show us where that line is, so that we know where it starts and where we start, so that we can enter into the fullness of what God has. So, you know, we had the 4th of July, it's Independence Day yesterday. You know, so we're celebrating Independence Day. We're celebrating the freedom that we have in the United States. We have freedom in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. We are free, not because we live in the United States. Hear me. We are free, but not because we live in the United States. We are free because Jesus has set us free. And the reality, the freedom that the United States has is because the freedom of Christians personified in the world system. Men of God, preaching the truth of God, then were able to create a country that had an illusion, a demonstration of what the kingdom could potentially be. Because of the righteousness of people. Because freedom is in the hearts of the righteous. We're kind of in a time where we're seeing that righteousness that's in the hearts of people be gone. Freedom is meant for righteous. It's like if we sometimes we think that if we gain freedom, this is a little bit of a world mindset. If we gain freedom, if we topple over our government and we put in a government that's going to produce, you know, give us freedom, then we will be free. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work like that. The freedom in people's hearts makes the government change. Because the people, because of the righteousness in their heart, cry out to God, then God begins to deal with the government powers. That's why Paul admonishes us to pray for those in government. Because we can't change it. I mean, we have the right to vote. We absolutely, and we need to vote. It is our godly responsibility to vote. We need to vote our conscience. We need to vote according to the Word of God. We need to vote according to what our King is asking of us. Just in case you thought that your vote, you were free to cast your vote however you want, you better think, whose are you? Are you your own or are you Jesus's? And then you vote for who Jesus asks you to vote for. I mean, if He says you can choose, then you can choose. There's no sin there. But if He tells you to vote for somebody, it's a good idea to vote for them. Because blessing comes by obedience. God has given you a command. You walk in the obedience and you receive the blessing. I lost my train of thought. Government. God deals with government. We think that it's by the outward, but it's by the inward. It's by the inward force that freedom is established in a nation. You wonder why some of these nations never seem to be free. It's because the people within the nation aren't righteous. What is an oppressive government for? A wicked and unjust people. A wicked and unjust people. Why did God bring the oppressive nations against the nation of Israel, His chosen nation? Why? Because of the wickedness in their heart. He brought in these worldly nations to oppress them. So that they would then begin to look at their condition and change. And to keep them from going too far. To keep them from going too far. He needed a righteous people to bring Jesus through. We are free because of Jesus. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. We have received liberty, freedom. We've received freedom. And we're supposed to stand fast in it because Jesus purchased it for us. And we can stand in that. Right? And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, Paul is specifically referring to legalism in this passage. Specifically. He's talking about being entangled again with the Old Testament law. He says, you are free. You are free. And you stand in that liberty. It is not the law that causes you to be accepted before God. You'll never be accepted before God by the law. But Christ has purchased freedom for you. I'm going to come back to this idea. But I want to continue on. God has purchased our freedom. He's purchased our freedom and He set us free. God has. We look at the children of Israel. Okay? The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. They were enslaved. They built the monuments that we see in Egypt nowadays. Those great marvelous works of wonder were made by the children of Israel in slavery. And here they are, they're in bondage and they're making bricks and building these monuments. And God finds Moses out in the desert and says, "Moses, this is hallowed ground. Take off your shoes." And He calls a man and He sanctifies him. And He sets him, He says, "Go and set my people free." And so he goes. And he sets the people free. You know that the people want several times in that whole journey, they wanted to stone Moses. They were not happy with him. But in the process, God was setting him free. Why? Why did God bother to set him free? Did you ever consider that? They weren't a righteous people. When they came out of Egypt, after God had showed the miraculous signs and wonders, one of the first things that they wanted to do? To create an idol to go before them. These weren't the faithful children of God that we like to think them as. They were pagans. They had their own ideas. They had their own culture. They had their own witchcraft and soothsayers and their own idols. Well, they worshipped the same idols the Egyptians did. They did. And God sent Moses to deliver them. Why? They weren't a righteous people. Bingo. Because they were His. But even more so, because He made a promise. He made a promise. To whom? Abraham. To Abraham, His faithful servant, whom He called a friend. He made a promise. And He said, Genesis 17. Let's look at the promise. Turn there. Genesis 17. And we're starting verse 1. And go through to 9. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am the Lord your God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between you and me, and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you." This is my covenant. God says, "My covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation for an everlasting covenant." To be God to you and your descendants after you. You're making me lose my place. You and your descendants after you, that I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you were a stranger, and all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He made a promise. He made a promise to a man. And he said, "I will cause these things." He says, "Walk blameless before me." You know what? Abraham had to fulfill the promise. Obedience, blessing. If Abraham wouldn't have been faithful to God, we never would have heard of him. God would have had to find somebody else. But God found Abraham. Abraham was faithful to God. And he walked blameless before God. Well, how can you say that? He was willing to sacrifice his only son. I'm thinking that's blameless before God. If you're willing to be obedient to God to the point where you're willing to kill your own kid, okay. Praise God for his obedience. That way Jesus could come. He made a promise and he set the children of God free to bring them into a promised land. To bring them into a promised land filled, overflowing with abundance. He promised that to Abraham. At the end, he says, into the land which I have promised you, the land of Canaan. And he took them out to bring them in. And he put up with them. And he was angry with them at times. And he wanted to destroy them and make a new nation from Moses. But he didn't. So, here we go. Because of his promise, he did it. God set us free because he promised Jesus. God set us free, and we enter into the covenant because of Jesus. It's not your righteousness, it's not your goodness, it's His. Exactly. It's His goodness. It's because of what He did. John 3:17. Not 16, 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's a speaker in that back room, if you want to. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. His promise. He set us free because He cares. Because He cares. You're free because of God's promise to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 4:18 and 19. This is the promise, the anointing, the what Jesus came to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing, that He was anointed. He came to do this. To fulfill God's desire upon the earth. It was the promise that God had given. He says, the Spirit is upon Him. God's Spirit is upon Him. Because He's anointed me. He's given me power. He's given me authority. Anointing always speaks of authority and power. You can't have authority without power. God never gives authority without giving power. So to give anointing is to give authority and power. To do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. If we have a broken heart, His anointing is there to heal us. To proclaim liberty to the captives. If you're enslaved or a captive in this world system, if you're a slave to demonic things, if you're a slave and have not liberty and freedom, Jesus came to set us free. His anointing sets us free. Recovery of sight to the blind. You know what? That's not just physical blindness. He's actually speaking more of internal blindness, of not seeing what is around you. We become blind because of deception. You know, if you're deceived, you don't know it. Why? Because there's blindness upon you. Within the deception is a delusion. And that delusion blinds everything to you. You can't see the truth. That's why it says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Interesting that we come back to this. It's sharper than any two-edged sword because it divides. If we're deceived, the Word of God can set us free. But we have to be willing to give the Word of God more credence than we give our own opinions. Soul, spirit, Word of God divides us, God, truth, lie. The recovery of sight to those that are blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. People all over the world want to know one thing. How can I be acceptable in God's sight? All over the world. People do all kinds of crazy things to their demon gods because they want to be accepted by God. One, they don't realize that it's not God. Two, they don't know what is necessary to be acceptable. You know what's necessary to be acceptable? The blood of the perfect lamb. The blood of the perfect lamb. The acceptable year of the Lord. You know, a lot of times we think that our salvation saves us from the consequences of our sin. That it's, you know, I'm saved, therefore my sins are taken away and I no longer need to suffer the consequences of them. That's what people think salvation is. But it's way more than that. It is that. But it's more than that. The real beauty of salvation, the real wonder, the real miracle working power is this. That God caused the sin nature to be changed in you. That it's not the consequence, it's not the action anymore, but the very nature inside of us now says, I want to do what's right. Because the seed of God has been planted in our hearts. That's the miracle. That's the wonder-working power. Not just that we don't sin anymore, but we no longer have a desire to do that sin. Well, I don't know. I keep sinning. Yes, because you haven't come to the revelation of what truly is in you. We're still dealing with our soul that wants the sin things. It's still tied to our flesh. I want, I feel, I desire. I need. But over in our spirit is saying, you have everything that you have need of. You have more than you have need of. You have so much that you can raise the dead. I mean, that's some power there. If you can look at a dead person and say, rise up in Jesus' name. Whew. The very nature inside of us now has become like Jesus. The Son of God on earth. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And the old things have passed away. And this is working out our salvation. This is what it talks about. Working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Being conformed to the image of Christ. This is the pathway, the struggle. The followers of the way follow the way of Christ to become like Christ. We have been set free that we become freedom for others. It's not enough for us to just be free. But we are called to bring freedom to others. That when we begin to walk in that seed of Christ within us, that there all of a sudden becomes a desire to then set others free. There is a compassion, a love, a desire that compels us to speak the truth. And say, you need Jesus. 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 That is the truth of the salvation of Christ. That is the reality of the freedom and liberty in us. Matthew 10 verse 1 and Luke 10 verse 1 deal with two separate instances but similar. 10:1 deals with Jesus commissioning the 12 and sending them out. Luke 10:1 deals with Jesus commissioning the 70 and sending them out. But I want to bring out one thing that both of them say. Jesus telling them to go out, telling them to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, cleanse people, cast out demons, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he says to them, go, wherever you go. When you go into a house, say peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, it will rest. If not, it will return to you. Point number one, if you go somewhere, then you can speak peace over that house. But if there is no peace there, if there is no spirit of peace, if there is no receiving of the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, then the peace will return to you. Under no circumstance, under no situation, do you have to give up your peace. It is a right given to you by God. This peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. So I give to you. And if God has given it, then no one can take it from you. You have peace that resides in you. You have peace that lives within you. And you have every right to it. And you don't have to give it up. The second point that I want to make is Jesus says to them, you go and you preach. And if it's not received, then you go out and you shake the dust off. And he said it would be better for that city. In the day of judgment, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than that city. He said to go and preach. If they won't receive, you shake it off. If they won't receive, you shake it off and you walk away. And you let God deal with it. But we preach the gospel. When we go out, we are called to tell the truth, preach the truth, to declare the truth, to show the truth. But you know what? If it's not received, we are not called to make people believe. We're called to give them an opportunity to believe. If they don't receive from you, let it go. Shake it off. Let it go. Give it into God's hands and walk away. Obviously, we follow the Spirit of God. And there's a point at which He will tell you to walk away. There's times when God's told me to walk away. It wasn't my problem anymore. Let it go. You walk away. You let God deal with it. God is not calling us to change a governmental system. To enact laws that make people walk in righteousness. He's calling us to preach a truth into people's lives that will so fundamentally change them that righteousness then becomes their very nature. We have a higher calling than trying to affect governments. We have a calling to affect the very souls of men. And as the souls of men are affected, the government then changes. We want to change the government? We start with souls. Stop looking at the top, and we start at the bottom. We look at those that are in need, and we preach the gospel. If they won't receive, we shake the dust off, and we go on to the next person, and let God deal with them. That's what we're called to do, to preach the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. It was for freedom that God set you free. Not only to set you free, but to set others free. Lord, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, blessed is your name forever. We thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, into this world to set us free. We thank you, Lord, that you've revealed Jesus to us. That you've revealed your Son and the sacrifice that he gave so that we could be free. Lord, we ask that you would give us a greater revelation of what you have given unto us, that it becomes more of a reality inside of us. Lord, help us to share it with others. Help us to take opportunities that you give us to proclaim the truth of freedom to those around us. To not shrink back, to not pull back, but to step boldly where you give us an opening and proclaim the truth and proclaim your love and your freedom. We thank you, Father, for this great nation. We thank you, Father, that you still have plans and purposes for this nation of the United States. Lord, we ask a blessing upon the United States. Lord, we ask that their eyes be open to see the goodness of God. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters across this nation that they would have courage to stand for truth, to stand for freedom, to stand for the gospel, to stand for the people of God. Lord, send laborers into your harvest, for great is the harvest. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth, in America. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You are blessed. God loves you and he cares for you, and you are going to have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name, amen.